Blog Talk Radio.
Whenever you may be listening to us, I'm Dax Carlisle. This is Psychic Talk Radio. That's right. And joining me, my fabulous co-host, Dr. Rose Wilkerson. The doctors are in, Rose.
Yes, we are. Hi, everybody.
Yeah, it's our fun Open Lines Friday show. You know, I love Fridays and Saturdays because it's laid back and open lines and we take your phone calls. So you can call in with whatever's on your mind. You can ask questions about tarot, numerology, the law of attraction, psychic development, those kind of things that we talk about on all of the shows here on Psychic Talk Radio. Yeah. Or you can call in for a free mini reading, and we'll try to give you some guidance live on air. How about that, Rose?
That sounds fantastic. Yeah.
Awesome. Now, we always rephrase. We always do open lines and take calls on Fridays and Saturdays, but we throw in a little mini topic here and there, and we got a great one for today. You know, I always call Dr. Rose the mantra maven, and she's always giving great Sanskrit mantras for folks to chant that will help them with whatever the issues are that they're calling in to the show about. And today we're going to get a little deeper into it. We're going to actually talk about, you know, how do you chant Sanskrit mantras and some more details about, you know, what the heck is that anyway? Yeah. So we're going to do that on today's show. Yep. As well. But we will be taking your calls, and let me give out the phone number. It's 714-816-4628. Of course, that's good for all of our shows. 7 days a week here. Now, we are in the summer months, so a few of the shows are on hiatus until September, October. You know, they'll come back in the fall. And the other shows, well, the Monday shows are still every Monday, but most of the other shows are every other week. So just go to psychictalk.net/upcoming and you can see the whole list there. But this number is good for all the shows, and you can join us in the chat room at psychictalk.net/live. Let me give out, I want to give out that phone number one more time, 714-816-4628 if you want to join us today. Remember to press 1 on your keypad. So as soon as you dial in and get through, press 1. It'll put you up in the queue so we know you want to be live on air with us, and we take the calls in the order that they come in. Remember, if you're calling in via Skype, you have to go to the app, open the dial pad, and press 1. 714-816-4628. We'll get to the calls in just a minute here. I do want to mention the numerology of the day. So, Rose, the whole date, 8/16/2019. If you add those numbers up, you get 27. 2 plus 7 is 9. So we're in a 9 day, and 9 is the end of the cycle. This is about endings and closure. You know, this is the day where you go, okay, I got some free time. I'm going to clean out the closets. I'm going to clean out the garage, literally things that you haven't touched in 6 months, a year, 5 years. You know, if it's not serving you, if you're never going to touch it again, you know, get it out of there. Make room for greater and better things to come into your life. And also, you know, figuratively as well, cleaning out the closets, like, do you have belief systems that no longer serve you? Right. Relationships that no longer serve you.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, yeah, you know, So I was going to say, some people have, you know, projects that are on the back burner, but they've been on the back burner for 6 months, a year, 3 years, you know. And even though it's on the back burner, it's still holding space. Get rid of that. What were you going to say, Rose?
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, definitely I agree with that. Like, for example, I have books. Like, I'm a book. I'm like my mom. My mom has just a library, just, you know, wall-to-wall books from the bottom floor all the way up to the top. And I've done the same thing, only not as many. And I have a lot of books that I'm not using that come from a previous life of when I was studying linguistics as a graduate student and whatnot. And I was like, you know what? I really don't need these things anymore. There are better books out there. I don't need to hold on to these things. And I just need to release that and let it go. So I totally vibe with the nine, you know, the number nine today.
Absolutely. And the date, the actual day is the 16th. 1 + 6 = 7. So that's the highest spiritual number in numerology. This is a great day to do research, explore, you know, how does the universe work? You know, explore the law of attraction, explore tarot, numerology. You know, this is a great day to listen into a radio show about that, like they are.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Actually, my birth date is June 16th, and so my birthday is a 7 as well, and that's why I'm attracted to all these things. You know, how does the universe work? Sacred geometry, numerology, tarot, law of attraction, all that kind of stuff. Absolutely. So that ties in really good with our topic as well, learning a little spirituality there. Also, I pulled the card of the day. Rose, I got the Ten of Swords. The Ten of Swords, which is in that's in perfect alignment with the date energy of nine, because the Ten of Swords is finality. And, you know, it can be the negative aspect. It can be the negative aspect, like defeat and failure, ruin. It can come up, you know, to say, yeah, the relationship's really over, or yeah, you know, it can come up during a divorce, that kind of thing. But there's a positive side to it too, because in the traditional Waite-Smith version of the card, if you look in the background, you know, the sky's all dark, but then far off in the distance, it's fading away and the sun is coming up. It's the dawning of a new day. So the positive side of the Ten of Swords is that it's very similar to the nine energy in numerology that we were just talking about. One door closes, another one opens. Yeah. One cycle ends, a new cycle begins. So that, the Ten of Swords combined with the date being that nine energy, this is really a great day to, you know, clear out the clutter and then, you know, be finally done with that cycle and start a brand new cycle, fresh and anew. Awesome. It's totally awesome. And so tomorrow, the 17th, will be a one day, which is great for starting new things. So clear everything out today, and then, you know, later on today and into tomorrow, that's when you start new things, new projects, new relationships, meeting new people, new partnerships, new businesses, getting started writing that novel. You know, all those kind of things will be great tomorrow. And today is when you make the room for it and plan it. That makes sense?
Nice. Yes, it does. And also, it's great to have to start something new on a Saturday, on the weekend. That's where you have time.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you got time. Yeah, I mean, this is just perfect. You know, maybe you're listening to us at work. You know, you get off work this evening, you go home, you start clearing out the clutter, you know, you get rid of the stuff you haven't, you know, even seen or touched for months, if not years. Relationships that aren't serving you. Okay, so you throw your husband out the door and close it. and then start cleaning out the closets, you know. You know those size 2s don't fit you anymore. Come on, let's be serious. You know, and you're never getting back in it. I'm just telling
you
right now.
For the shoes that really hurt your feet, but they're cute. You're just cute.
Exactly.
I have shoes like that. I really have to get rid of them. It's like, this thing hurts my knee, but I don't want to get rid of them. I want to hold on to it, which is silly. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, get off work, go home, clear some stuff out, or, you know, maybe just take some time for yourself. You know, those scented, candle-lit Epsom salt baths, you know, or maybe have fancy
mm-hmm.
bath beads you throw in, you know, and just meditate. You know, you don't have to do the bath thing. You can sit on your chair or cross, you know, Indian style on the bed there, just, you know, take some deep breaths, you know, and just relax and, you know, unwind, focus, think, you know, what can I let go of, you know? What beliefs am I clinging to that really don't serve me anymore? Yeah. And then tomorrow, bam, it's Saturday, Sunday, you can do some great things. It's going to be great. Of course, Sunday will be a 2-day, which is great for relationships, communication with other people, doing things with other people. Yeah. So that could be the fun day.
Yeah.
You
were going a little bit out, in and out there for a moment, but I think we got the gist of what you were saying. Yeah.
All righty. So before we dive into the Sanskrit mantras, let's take a phone call, 714-816-4628. Give us a ring. We'd love to chat with you. And let's see who's been waiting out there the longest, 845. Hello, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi. My name is Maria. I call from New York.
Hi, Maria. Nice to talk to you again.
Hi,
how you been?
Fine, thank you. I can ask a question, please.
Okay.
Go ahead.
A lady named Melissa, they're going to give a contract to work to my daughter.
Uh-huh. So are you asking, are they going to give the contract to your daughter?
For work, yes, please.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see what comes up. Of course, we can only look at the current trajectory from the now. Whenever you do a reading, I don't care if you're a psychic, tarot reader, whatever you do, you know, the readings are always in the now, right, Rose?
That's correct.
Yeah. So when we look at potential outcomes, what we're seeing is from the trajectory of the past, the decisions you've made up to the moment, and leading into the future, where it looks like it's headed. But, you know, these folks that are going to potentially give the contract to your daughter, and your daughter herself, you know, may make various decisions along the way, go off in a different trajectory,
right.
You know.
Right.
So let's take a look, though, what we're getting here. Okay, so in the tarot itself, you know, it's looking pretty good here. I got some major arcana cards. I got the Two of Pentacles. These are all yes cards, so, you know, taking the question as, you know, yes or no, will she get it? It looks like yes. In fact, the Knight of Cups is showing up, and that's usually a good message coming in, a positive message, and the Page of Coins as well. And pages and knights often carry messages, so your daughter might be hearing about this really soon, okay? Now, that said, there are some give me a mantra. You know, things are just not flowing here. But the moon card shows up, you know, and the light from the moon is not like the light from the sun. You know, it casts shadows. You know, things are kind of clouded. You don't see all the details. You know, just as a little bit of a warning for your daughter that, boy, you know, there may be aspects to this that she's not quite seeing. And then, of course, you know, I mentioned that Two of Pentacles, which is imminent change, which could be positive, you know, getting the contract. But also, you know, it's a card that talks about she needs to be flexible in this. And pentacles or coins being about the material realm, you know, and in the traditional Waite Smith version of the card, he looks like a juggler. He's standing on one foot, balancing. He's got the two pentacles, and it looks like he's, you know, balancing them. And so, yeah, there might be a balancing act going on, especially financially with this. There may be some ups and downs. There may be some, you know, juggling of things in the situation for your daughter and so forth. But it's looking really good at this point that she's going to get the contract. You know, there just might be, you know, with that moon card and that two of pentacles, there may be some things, you know, you might want to tell your daughter, okay, keep your eyes wide open going into this contract. Read all the fine print. Okay?
Yeah, that's important.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. God
Thanks
bless.
For
Thank
calling
you.
In, Maria.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You're
Have
welcome.
A great weekend, Maria. Yeah,
Absolutely.
Maria from New York. She calls in every once in a while, and it's nice to hear her. Let's take one more call. Let's see who's been waiting the longest here. It looks like area code 856. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Rosemaria. How are you guys?
God, everybody's
Hi,
Rosemaria. Do we have a theme going on or something? The second caller with Rosemaria is her name. What's going on with you? And where are you calling from, Rose?
Rose, from New Jersey.
From Jersey. She's a Jersey girl, Dr. Rose. Yeah, so we got Rosemaria, and then we got Dr. Rose here. So what's going on with you? What do you want to talk about, Rosemaria?
I've been doing a lot of changes and still looking for a newer job, better pay and all that stuff. And relationship, and it's been long enough, if that makes sense. So I was wondering what's coming up or moving or what's my next step. I'm trying my hardest, and it seems like it's not going
mm-hmm.
through.
mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, you said moving. Are you thinking of physically moving, like moving house across town or to another city?
Hopefully to a different country with a newer business, if I can get that started on my next trip.
Here's an interesting one. Da-da-da-da-da. Take a look here. The cards are saying you definitely should be doing your own business for sure. The Nine of Pentacles shows up. I always call that the self-made woman card. And, you know, whether the client's a woman or a guy, it doesn't matter. But, you know, for me, that card's always the card of the entrepreneur. You know, when it comes up in a reading, this person should really be running their own business. That's how they're going to be most successful. Right next to it, you got the Knight of Wands. The Knight of Wands is galloping in towards the Nine of Pentacles. And Wands is fire, the fire element. So that's passion, following your passions. So that's what that's indicating is, yes, you need to follow your passions, become the self-made woman, become the entrepreneur. And you're not there yet. You know, the Knight of Wands wouldn't have shown up if you were already there. You know, unless it was in the context of, you know, are you following your passion? So there's some work left to be done. You know, I've got some really positive cards here, but, you know, I asked it in my head as a yes, no, and I'm not getting a strong yes. So it's like there's more work left to be done. Part of
it. And that's for the business part, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about the business alone, you know, because the business is kind of intertwined with the move, because she said move and get this business going. Well, it's almost like you have to get that, not necessarily going, but, you know, have all your ducks in a row before any kind of a move or anything like that. I'm also getting the Justice card, which often refers to, you know, anything legal. So I don't know if you have anything going on in that area, but it's the central focus card. It's very important, and it's a major arcana card, so it's always important when it's a major arcana card. Life-changing thing, you know. So it could be a few different things. It could be saying that, you know, for the business to be a go, you really have to do your due diligence, do a lot of research into the legal aspects of it, you know, dot all the I's, cross all the T's, that kind of thing, and, you know, just be heads up about all of that. And it can also be talking about contracts, anything in the legal area, but, you know, especially contracts when you're talking about a business, you got to really read the fine print, just like we said
right.
for the last call. Yeah. And the other thing is that the Page of Swords shows up, and, you know, swords are ideas and thoughts, and he's got this single sword, and this person's, you know, someone that's very curious, penetrating insight, very, you know, it's about decisiveness. It's almost like, you know, even though you want to do this, And you may have even said consciously, I'm going to do this, but there's something nagging in the subconscious mind. There's something like where you haven't really committed, especially to the single idea. That's another aspect of this, is that you may have, you know, too many, like, oh, I could go off in this direction, or I could go off in this direction. I could move here, or I could move there. I could start this business, or I could start a different aspect of the business. You know, there's too many choices right now. You need to narrow it down, get a clear focus, because that's how the law of attraction works. You got to give the law of attraction a crystal clear goal, and you don't have to worry about the hows and the whys and the whens. You know, all of that stuff will kind of fill in on its own. You know, the universe will put the people, places, and things in your path that will help you get there to the goal, but you have to have the goal. And that's a problem with a lot of the people in a lot of areas when they call into the show. You know, they are looking for a job, or, you know, their next love of their life, relationship, you know, number 10.
Right.
Or something like that. And they don't have the crystal clear idea. They haven't taken the time to get focused, which is what the Page of Swords is talking about. You know, focusing in on what's that going to look like? You know, get a crystal clear, you know, five sensory, in-depth, immersive experience type visualization. So we're not just what it looks like. We're talking about what does it sound like and feel like and smell like. You know, what are the different things you're going to be doing on a daily basis, and where are you going to be doing them? And, you know, you have to get really, really clear. You can't be nebulous about all this. You really have to know what is the goal, and that'll start moving things along with getting in. And, you know, I think that's also why the Knight of Wands is showing up, follow your passion, you know, is that you really got to figure that out. You know, what is it really? Get real crystal clear on that. And then, as I said before, be mindful of the legal part. You know, especially if you move to another country, I mean, that changes the entire dynamic there, you know, as far as the legalities of things, contracts, all those kind of things. So I hope that helped you out.
Yep, it did.
Awesome. And now you're going to have to let us know what happened.
Cool. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, and have a great weekend.
Thank you.
And you know, like I said about the numerology and, you know, being a 9 and we're going into a 1 day tomorrow, you know, this is when you really should be looking at that kind of thing. And, you know, so mull it over the weekend and try to get crystal clear about that. All righty. So that opens some lines at 714-816-4628. Remember to press 1 when you get through if you'd like to chat with us. In a moment, I'm going to go check on the chat room, see if we have questions in the chat room. Remember, you can go to psychictalk.net/live, scroll down under the player, get in the chat room with us. You can ask for a mini reading there. You can ask questions, and you can also make comments about what we're discussing. So just be sure to press 1 on your dial pad when you call in Otherwise, you're not in the queue. So dial in at 714-816-4628 and be sure to press number 1. So, Rose, how to chant Sanskrit mantras. Woohoo! Let's dive into that for a little bit.
Yes, definitely so. So, you know, I've been talking about mantras on the show for quite a while, and I just wanted to offer a different perspective, a little bit more information, different view coming from a person who was an American Vedic priest. Vedic meaning the Vedas, which is an ancient religious text. And he was one of the first, if not, he might have been the first that talked about mantras or wrote about it for a Western audience. So his name is Thomas Ashley Farrand, F-A-R-R-A-N-D, and the book is called Healing Mantras. And this is one of my favorite. This is actually the first book that I ever read about Sanskrit mantras, and he's a wonderful writer. And he has, like, lots and lots of mantras there. So one of the things that he says is that mantra is a Sanskrit word with many shades of meaning. For example, tool of the mind is one meaning, divine speech, and language of the human spiritual physiology. And those are just a few of the meanings of what mantra means. He goes on to write about that in the context of the book. Mantra is a tool for healing problems that we all face in life. And in quoting a mystic Sufi master, he says, the practice of mantra actually needs the flesh of the body with sound. The delicate cells of the elaborate bundles of nerves are subjected to a constant hammering, a seizure of the flesh by the vibrations of divine sound. So what can mantras do? Mantras can help you feel more peaceful or more energized. It can help you cope with illness, and it can sometimes help affect physical healing. It can help you deal with difficult or unpleasant circumstances by helping you to see a course of action, or it can give you the patience and perspective to just, quote, wait it out. It can help you bring your wishes to fruition and create reality from your dreams. Mantra is a dynamic, individual, nonviolent way to approach conditions you wish to change. They are ancient formulas of divine sounds recorded by the ancient sages of India and held in trust and in secret for ages in both India and Tibet. Well, they're not so much secret now because all that information is out, right? but mantra, just to let you know, just to, you know, on a word of caution, mantra is not a panacea. It is not usually the only way or even the best way to solve human problems. Your life and your karma. The karma, meaning the accumulated effect of all your thoughts and actions over many lives, are far too complex to be completely mastered by several weeks of work with spiritual formulas, no matter how powerful they might be. But mantra can completely solve many of the problems we face, and it can considerably soften others. Okay? So this is one of the reasons why I love mantras, because they do, in fact, create change in people's lives. Now, it's not the only thing that I do. Like, I love mantras, and, you know, Dax always talks about calling me the mantra maven, but I chant mantras, but there are other practices that I do. So for those of you who want to learn a little bit more about what practices I do, I encourage you to go to my bio page at psychictalk.net/Dr. Rose. That'll be D-R-R-O-S-E. Is that right?
That's right. Dax,
I think that's the right.
You got
and
it right.
You'll see that I have a That's right. I have a YouTube channel by my spiritual name, which is Shakti Devi, but it's the top link on my profile. And I've been doing videos, actually. I've kind of started doing more videos about different practices that you can do to release certain karmic issues. So go there. Again, that's psychictalk.net/DRROSE. And you can learn more about that, and you can go to my YouTube channel. So anyway, in terms of, well, how do you chant mantras? So there are a couple of techniques that you can do. I recommend that you chant at least 108 times in a session. That's a traditional way of doing it. Now, I don't always do 108 times, and if I do, I usually will do that with a short mantra, because if you have a really long mantra, that can take, you know, an hour to do it 108 times. Now, if you have the time and you can do that, that's great. But, you know, if you're like me and you're running, and as we say, we hit the ground running. Like, as soon as you wake up, you're like, okay, let's go do shower. Let's go do this. Let's go work and do all that kind of stuff. You don't always have time to do 108, you know, times in one sitting. Or you could do, at Dax and I had talked about before, you could do 27 times and four sessions in one day, or do 54 times, let's say in the morning, and 54 times in the evening. You can do that. That's another option as well. But anyway, that's the standard, is to chant at least 108 times. The second thing is that you can, there are different ways that you can do it. You can chant out loud. Not a lot of people do that because, you know, other people will hear, or, you know, it creates noise, or you don't want someone to know what you're doing, right? So you can chant it out loud in a loud voice, or you can chant silently as well, and silently meaning in your mind. Now, sometimes that can be, chanting silently can be a little challenging because oftentimes our mind is filled with a lot of thoughts, right? And so sometimes we can kind of go off the rail or something like that. But you can chant silently. And those, what is the, is one more powerful than the other? Not necessarily, okay? There are different theories about, you know, chanting out loud, how it somehow affects the, you know, what is it, a 3D plane that we're on, right, our physical world, or chanting inwardly. Some people will say that it helps on a more subtle level, like with down to the atoms and the molecules that, you know, that we're made of, and things of that nature. It doesn't really matter which way you think of it. Both of them are powerful either way. So just do what's comfortable for you. You can chant out loud, you can chant silently. Another way that I actually didn't learn this from Tabasashi Farhan, I learned it from another guru, Dr. Baskaran Prahlad. I've talked about him a little bit about him before, is you can actually write the mantra as well. And there's a great benefit in doing that because you're accessing different parts of the brain. So, you know, when you're chanting and you're dealing with sound, whether you're chanting out loud, chanting silently, or even writing, it activates different parts of the brain. And then writing is also a bit of a focus kind of thing that you're doing, right? If you're chanting silently, your mind can just go off the rail. You could be chanting, but you're thinking about all these other things that are going on, right? Because we can have at least more than one thought at one time. If you chant out loud, you're probably a little bit more focused because it also involves hearing. You know, you can actually listen to what you're doing. But then writing is also more of a focused thing. And it's a great activity to do if you are, let's say, just, you know, you have the TV on, you're not really doing anything, you know, constructive. you know, pull out your notepad and start writing the mantra down. That's another way to do that. And some people ask, okay, so what do you do with the paper after you've done that? Well, you never throw it away, number one, because remember, it is mantra, it's a divine power, it has vibration. You don't want to just toss it in the trash. What you can do, there are two things you can do. You can use it as artwork, like for those of you who have vision boards, you can line the back of your vision, back, or what I mean, underneath your vision pictures with a mantra paper. I have that on my vision board. You can put it behind the different pictures that you have in your vision board. You can use it as some kind of artwork, or the other way to get rid of it, because sometimes if you're writing, if you're doing a lot of mantra writing and you have several pages, you can also burn it as well, kind of like burn almost like an effigy. Just make sure that you practice fire safety, please, you know, when you're doing that. So those are different ways that you can chant, in essence, a mantra. You can do it out loud, silently, or you can do it, you know, by writing. Now, one thing I want to just tell people about, because I know a lot of times, you know, YouTube and Google, they have all this information that's out on the internet, right? So some people will go and look up a mantra on YouTube, and they'll hear some chanting or somebody's chanting a mantra and listen to that particular mantra. Now, one of the things, the reason why I'm mentioning this is that you want to chant a mantra, or at least listen to someone chanting who actually has spiritual power. Because when you're listening to people, you're really kind of taking on their consciousness in a way. And if that person is not an enlightened or an evolved human being, you could really just kind of take on their stuff, and you don't want to do that, right? So it's important. And, you know, traditionally in India, they receive mantras from a guru, someone, or Siddha Master, someone who's actually gone through training to acquire the spiritual power of a mantra. And so a lot of times you guys will know that I will send out a link, you know, of a mantra loop, and that comes from someone who actually is a spiritual master, because what happens is that he or she puts that power into the mantra, and that can actually create transformation in your life, whereas other people, just, you know, regular layman people, it may not quite work that way. But here's it. I'll do an analogy, and then I'll be done with what I'm talking about, Dax. So, for example, let's say you are going to throw a party, and it's going to be a really – it could be a birthday bash, or it's just something that's important where a lot of people are going to be there. But you don't know how to cook, or you don't cook very well. Now, here's an option. You can go to Google and find some recipes that you could possibly put together. But remember, you're not really skilled at it, right? Or you can have the option of learning from a chef, like a master chef, like Emeril, for example. There's some other many master chefs that are out there. So the idea is, if you really want to learn to cook, learn from a master chef, or at least learn from someone who's been through the training, who knows all the in and outs and things of that nature. I mean, yes, you could, you know, try to do things on your own. It may not come out that well and things of that nature. You know, go to allrecipes.com and find something. But if you're really unskilled, it's better to learn from someone who's experienced than someone who isn't. And that's the same thing with mantras. You know, you want to learn from someone who has not only the training and the spiritual power, because that is what transforms your life. Not just, like, I could just give you an audio of me chanting, but, you know, I'm not that enlightened or spiritually evolved. So I don't want you to take on, you know, my crazy consciousness. I would rather you have someone who really has gone through the training and whatnot. And so that's why when I give audios out, I give it out from Dr. Bhaskaran Pillai, who's gone through all that training. So, and then also there are people who have been people all over the world, thousands of people who have been transformed from, you know, by his mantras that he sends out and things of that nature. So. But anyway, that's pretty much it that I wanted to talk about, how to chant Sanskrit mantra. So I hope that, help someone. And remember, you need to be consistent. That's the other thing, too. Sometimes people will do things, so, well, I'll just try it for a week, and if I don't see any changes, then I'm going to stop. That's not the way it works. You know, basically, as I was describing in the text that I was reading, you know, your karma is kind of like an onion. You have several layers of it. So you have to, you know, it takes a while to kind of peel back some of these layers. It's very rare that you chant for a short period of time and boom, up pops, you know, let's say lots of money or something like that. Sometimes that can happen. I'm just, you know, that we don't know everybody's karmic issue. But for most people, for the majority of people, there are a lot of layers that you have to work through. So I would just say be consistent, whatever you do. I tell people all the time, I don't do 108 every day. That's just not, you know, I don't have that in my schedule. But I do chant mantra. So, like, when I get up in the morning, my first mantra is a Ganesha mantra, which is remove obstacles and negativity of all kinds. I start my day off with that, and I will chant his mantra about 9 times. So gum, you can just do that. Gum, actually, you can do 108 of that, and you'll be done in about 5 minutes. So I do a mantra, his mantra first, and then whatever other mantras I want to do, I could do that. But I do it consistently every day, though. So even though it's not 108, it may be 9, it could be 27 or whatever, I do it every day. So you want to make sure that you're consistent. And that's it.
Well, we also talked about breaking the 108 up into bite-sized chunks, like doing it 4 times
right.
a day. What did that come out to, 27 or something like that?
Yeah, so if you do 4 times a day, you can do it 27 times for each session.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can do 2. So in other words, you can do 54 times in the morning and 54 times in the evening or when you come home or something like that. So it just kind of depends upon how you want to do it. And usually those are with longer mantras. And I'm not a person who likes to chant really long mantras. I just don't. it's too
mm-hmm.
long, you know. I mean, especially if you're doing 108. But there are something what we call seed mantras or bija mantras, and they're usually like 1, maybe 2 syllables. And you can do that in 5 minutes. For 108, you can do that. And then also the other option, too, in terms of chanting is that, let's say you are experiencing difficulty. That's a great time to start chanting the mantra, okay? And what I mean by difficulty, you're feeling under pressure, you're feeling, you know, lethargic or cloudy in your mind. Just start chanting the mantra, especially gum, 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 gum. You know, I've had great experiences where I was under a lot of stress. Like my father was, when he was alive, he was going to the hospital and, you know, I was really scared, and as I was driving to the hospital, I just chanted gum, 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 gum until I felt better, and eventually I relaxed and I felt a lot better. My head was clearer, okay? So these mantras really do work, and I just encourage people to do that. If anything, chant a Ganesha mantra in the morning when you get up or before you start your day. You'll see after a while it'll start to make a difference in your life.
Awesome. And I also have some suggestions. One thing is 100, as a numerologist, 108 reduces to 9. And it makes perfect sense because 9 is that number of completion. You know how I said we're in a 9 date today, right?
Right, right.
So basically, you can take the 108 and you can divide it by any number divisible by 9. Okay. So, you know, we gave the 27 example. So you divide the 108 by 4, and so 4 times throughout the day you chant it 27 times. 2 plus 7 is 9.
It's 9. Wow.
Yeah. And so you can divide it up
four times twice a day, right? 5 and 4 is 9.
Yes, twice a day, 54. 5 plus 4 is 9. And so you're safe as long as you're doing it by 9. In fact, I would say that 9 itself would be optimal if you don't have a lot of time. So in the example you were just giving of doing it really quick, do it 9 times. Chant 9 times. Now, of course, if we divide 108 by 9, it's 12. And so, and 12 reduces to 3, which is the component of 9. 3, 6, and 9 are the creativity and communication numbers in numerology. That's why it's 108. That's why it's that 9. And, you know, 3 and 3 is 6. 3, 3 and 3 is 9. Okay, so that's why it comes out to 12. And so, you know, 12 times during the day, you know, that might be a little difficult to remember, you know, unless you have a timer that goes off at the increments to remind you, chant 9 times now, okay, you know, an hour later, chant 9 times now.
That's a lot to remember, too, for me. Yeah. I mean, if you guys can do it, God bless you, but.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But I think that looking at it numerologically, because 108 reduces to 9 and all these various options we're giving you are 9 based, that if you only have time to just chant it once 9 times, do that.
That's right. That will make a difference as long as you're consistent. And like if you skip a day, don't worry about it. You know, don't fall apart. It doesn't mean that, oh my God, I'm starting over. Unless you are really focusing on a certain number. Like, so there are people who will chant a mantra 120,000 times. And that supposedly is to give you the spiritual power of that mantra. So that's a lot of, you know, so if you're let's say you're going to do this for the next, I don't know, 3 or 4 months or something every day, and the number is important, then yes, you want to be consistent every day and not, you know, skip a day, because if you skip a day, then you have to restart. But that's if you're doing, if the number is that important to you. If you're just developing the habit of chanting the mantra every day, that's different. You know, sometimes people forget or things happen. I have that happen every couple of weeks or so where I just, you know, I may be tired, I may be sick, and I just am not able to do that. So it's okay, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you're going for the 120,000 goal, then don't worry about it if you skip today. Just do it as often as you can. And I said the least you can do is wake up and chant gum, you know, however many times.
And I got a few more things. I got a few
Sure.
more things, but I do want to let everybody know. Ooh, I'm looking at the clock. It's 11:44 here. Master number 11, master manifester number 44. I just love it. Anyway,
Ooh.
We do have some time left in the show. So if you're listening live and you want to call in, get a mini reading, chat with us, call us at 714-816-4628. As soon as you get through, press 1 on your dial pad so we know you want to be live on air. Again, that's 714-816-4628. And you can also go to psychytalk.net/live and ask a question right there in the chat room, which actually I think Little Fairy did. We'll tackle that question in just a minute, but I had a couple more things about the mantras. One thing was that you mentioned about vision boards, and it's so synchronistic that I had to mention that that's going to be on one of our shows coming up this Monday, actually, Monday, August 19th. It's Creating Vision
Nice.
Boards with special guest Sharona Rapsik. That's Creating Vision Boards with special guest Sharona Rapsik on the Compassionate Light Healing and Guidance Show. And the host, of course, is Catherine Hahn. So Sharona is joining Catherine. They're going to be talking about vision boards, and you had just mentioned that. One thing they're going to talk about is, you know, the more modern way that's starting to become popular, because rather than creating these gigantic boards where you get you pop up your mantra that you drew, I think that's what you were talking about, drawing it, and then what do you do with it kind of thing? Put it on your vision board?
Right. So if you when you're writing the mantra, if you can take some of that paper and put it at the backing of your vision board.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, you fill your whole board with the mantra paper that you've
right.
written, and then you put your pictures on top of that. And then that mantra actually will empower your visions, your vision board,
mm-hmm.
the pictures that you have on there, rather.
And what I wanted to suggest is that you can go the modern route. You know, you've got the pad, you know, and you can draw right on the pad and save it digitally. And the same thing with vision boards. I think they're going to be talking about this on Monday, how, you know, back in the day we used to have to collect, 50 or 100 magazines and cut out pictures, which we tried to get as close to what we were trying to manifest as possible, whereas nowadays we can just Google it. You just go on Google,
right.
you Google, you know, specific locations, specific, you know, the exact car, the exact house, you know, I mean, geez, you know, if you know the address of the house that, you know, that's for sale, that you want that house, you know, on the beach or what have you, you can go to maps.google.com, type in the address, and you can switch to the satellite view and to the street view, and it'll give you an actual, you know, not live, but an actual image of the front of the house, and you can use your desktop, depending on what type of computer you're on. They all have this where you can clip that out, where you can take a screenshot of it. So you could take a screenshot of the house right there through Google Maps, and you can also
right.
Google, you know, the exact model and color of the exact vehicle you're trying to manifest, or, you know, whatever these various things are that you would put on your vision board. You can get nowadays, you can get exact pictures, and you can create a vision board right on your computer. In fact, there are collage apps that allow you to do this on your computer and on your pad and on your phone. And so instead of, you know, having this big giant poster board that we used to have to, you know, paste images on, cut out of magazines or what have you, and stick it on the wall, and the only time we saw it was, you know, when we woke up in the morning and went to sleep at night. I mean, literally now you carry it around with you. You can make it the background image on your phone. So every single time you go on your phone to make a call, answer a call, to send a text, to go to one of your apps on there, you're going to see it right there and be reminded constantly throughout the day, you know. And you could do the same thing with the mantra. You can write it out by hand with a stylus on, or with your finger, on an app for that. There's an app for that, you know, on your pad. And then when you're done, save the image, add it to your collage in the collage app. I mean, it's the possibilities
right.
are just endless nowadays. Absolutely.
Yes,
so be sure yes. to tune in on. Yeah, be sure to tune in on Monday for that show. It's going to be at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, Compassionate Light with Catherine Hahn, and her special guest is Sharona Rapsik, creating vision boards. So I just had to get that out. Love that. The synchronicities are just amazing here, I'm telling you. Let's see, how are we doing on time? Got a little bit of time left here, and so we can cover a few more things. Before I go to Little Fairy's question, Rose, I want, you know, considering we just started talking about some of the great upcoming shows, I thought we'd give a couple more out. And I just want to remind everybody that we are in, what should we call it, Rose? Summer mode. So, some of the shows are on summer break and others are on a limited every other week schedule, and now all the shows will return to their full schedules in the fall. We'll be on 7 days a week, sometimes multiple shows on a day. But for right now, it's a little bit scattered, so you want to go over to psychetalk.net/upcoming to see the list of upcoming shows. And tomorrow I'm going to be on with Mary Brown, and we're talking about Mary's Colossal Collection. This is her tarot card decks, her oracle card decks. We'll be talking about decks, publishing decks, the great decks that are out there, upcoming decks, and Mary's collection as well. It's a lot of great fun stuff. Doesn't that sound fun, Rose?
Yes, it does. Absolutely.
Awesome.
There's so many decks out there. Yeah.
There's thousands now. So that'll be 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, as always, like here on Friday, Saturday is an open lines and mini reading show, so you can call in tomorrow as well. And then on Monday, I already mentioned the show with special guest Sharona Rapsik, creating vision boards. But the hour before that, it is Wisdom of Your Soul, or Wisdom of the Soul, with host Janice Fuchs. Licensed clinical social worker. She's a psychotherapist. And she's going to be talking about how we can break our addictive negative thinking. That's always powerful, always powerful. And then, of course, let's see. What's the next Friday? The next Friday is the 23rd. We're taking that one off. But you and I will be back on Friday, August 30th. Talking about divine altars. The doctors are in, and actually we're going to have an extra doctor because Dr. Sharona Rapsik, PhD, is going to be joining us as well. So it'll be Dr. Rose, Dr. Sharona, and Dr. Dax, Friday, August 30th, divine altars, and of
Perfect.
Course, open lines and mini readings. Yes. So I'm excited about that.
Perfect.
And
yeah.
I know Sharona will have some, you know, her own ideas about divine altars. And you came up with that topic. You know, what is it you want to talk about in regards to divine altars? I'm curious.
Just how they can, you know, how to construct them, and then also what they're used for. You know, what are some of the ways I can teach talk about a couple of practices that are used by, a couple of Vedic practices to really tune into the archetype, the god, goddess, the saint, or whatnot, or angel that you're basically inviting into your home, inviting into your life. This is one of my favorite topics when talking about working with gods and goddesses and things of that nature, divine beings. I love doing that. I have found so much transformation in doing that. So, like, I chant mantras, but I also work on developing a relationship with the divine being behind the mantra as well. And let me tell you, that makes a world of difference. Like, chanting is great, but having a relationship, I'm telling you, I will share with you guys some wonderful experiences that I've had, like real, you know, bona fide material, in the material world kind of experiences.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That sounds awesome. Hey, that brought to mind way, 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 way back, and I did a workshop with Renee Cummings. and she was one of our hosts on, I don't know, four networks ago. Anyway, but Renee and I did a workshop that was called Your Tarot Deck, the Only Divine, the Only Altar You'll Ever Need, or something like that, you know, loosely paraphrasing there. Because we were talking about how, you know, talking about altars and things in a radio show. We said, hey, we should do a workshop on that. And then we also decided to focus in on the tarot, because if you're like us and you have your tarot deck wherever you are, rather than just only having, you know, or even in place of, but only have, you know, you only having your divine altar set up in a specific place in your home, you have an altar in your pocket, you know, or your pocketbook, or in my case, my messenger bag that I carry everywhere with me. And you can pull your deck out and, you know, using several of the cards and, you know, particular configurations and so forth, you can set up your own altar, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. mobile altar wherever you are. It's really, really great. I use it, you know, setting it up for meditations, for a lot of different things. Sometimes I cast the altar before readings. So that's another thing that I can get into on that show on the 30th with you and Sharona.
Yes, absolutely. And I like what you talked about, because there is a, like you said, you can have an altar anywhere. It doesn't have to be a big elaborate shrine. I mean, if you want to do that, that's great.
Uh-huh.
But you can also, by carrying, well, like you said, a tarot deck in your case, or if you have like a little statue, that's like fits into the palm of your hand. You know, you can
mm-hmm.
either just carry it with you, or like in your bag or whatnot, or you can even set it up if you're at work and you put the little statue then down, you know, on your desk with a little cloth or something, and that's fine too. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. So we're going to get to Little Fairy's question now. One thing I forgot to mention when I was doing the little announcements there of the upcoming shows is I do have a flash sale going on this weekend and this weekend only. It is located at psychetalk.net/flash to make it easy. Say that 10 times fast. /flash. So head over there and check out my flash sale. I do this, you know, every once in a while I do a flash sale, and it's really, really amazing pricing always. So psychetalk.net/flash, FLASH, will take you there. I've got my tarot numerology course for as little as $27 to get you started, plus readings and more. And I'm still actually filling out things on this page, because I just started this morning, because it's really for the weekend. But I thought I'd give everybody a heads up on this. You can enroll in my 11-video module self-paced online course. You learn tarot and numerology. This was originally a $297 course, folks. And you can enroll during this flash sale for two easy payments of $27. Or one payment of $39. I told you it was nice. Crazy. Yes. And included with that is optional certification, the CTR certification, Certified Tarot Reader, included from the Tarot Guild, the International Organization for Professional Readers, since 2004. And in addition, you'll receive a year membership in the Guild as well. All of that for one payment of $39 or two payments of $27 right there on psychetalk.net/flash. And if you need some guidance, over like 60-70% off what I normally charge for a tarot session, you can book a tarot reading with me for $27 as well. It's all there at psychetalk.net/flash. Go check that out. And let's see, Little Fairy was asking about her career and her love life again. She's in a temporary job and been single for years. And, you know, she asked this question or similar questions or different things in the chat quite frequently, right, Rose?
Yeah.
And I really, this time around, I really wanted to get to the heart of the matter. You know, what's really going on here? And so I asked it that way, and what does she need to know? And the central focus right. card is the Ten of Cups. I got the Ten of Cups here. Ten is overkill.
Okay.
So in numerology, you have 1 through 9. And as we mentioned, today's a 9 day. And the 9 is the end of the cycle. And then guess what? You start a new cycle at 1, and then you go through 9. So what's 10 then? Well, 10 is actually 1 plus 0. It's 1. You always reduce the double, triple, whatever digits, compound numbers down to a single digit. Just keep adding them together to get a single digit. So 10 is obviously mm-hmm. easy. 1 plus 0 is 1. So it's actually the beginning of the cycle. Now, in the aspect of tarot, okay, the way I would describe it is it's the hairbreadth moment after the cycle ends at 9 and just before the next cycle starts at 1. That's what 10 means in the context of tarot. Now, when 10 of Cups comes up, depending on the reading and what the question is in the surrounding cards, Rose, that could be really good. It's an idyllic situation, especially in the Waite Smith version of the card. You got a family, you know, wife, husband, two kids, house in the background. You got a rainbow overhead. They have their hands outstretched. You've got the 10 cups. Cups is emotions, relationships, and it's an idyllic situation. And it can mean that in the positive aspect of the card. But all cards are a continuum, and there is a negative aspect to this, which I already mentioned, overkill. It could, you know, some of the negative aspects of this card can be over excess, showing off. Like, look at my ideal mm-hmm. family. Look at my wonderful house. Look at the BMW in the driveway, you know, kind of showing off to the neighbors mm-hmm. kind of thing. Okay. And the other negative aspect to it is overkill, excess. And in the context here, what we're talking about is an idyllic situation, but it's a fantasy situation.
Mm, okay.
Illusory. It's illusory. It's a fantasy. Okay. And so whether it's her love life or whether it's Little Fairy's career, the tarot is telling us that she has too much of a fantasy concept. You know how we always tell our listeners constantly, you know, it's like you got to get a and we just did that on this show. You got to get a five sensory immersive visualization of your goal, right?
Right.
This is going too far. This is getting an illusion of it, getting a fantasy version instead of a nuts and bolts realistic goal. And so mm-hmm. the tarot is telling us that that's part of her issue. That's part of the problem. Okay. And
okay.
I also have the Four of Cups as well, which is trouble in paradise, dissatisfaction, stuck in a rut. This is how she's feeling. It's reflecting the situation, Rose. But there's another couple mm-hmm. parts to this card. One is that in the traditional Waite Smith version, out of the clouds, literally from the divine, another cup appears, but the person in the card is not seeing it. So the opportunities that she's looking for, both career-wise and relationship-wise, she's just not seeing it. There's another aspect to this card, too, is the Four of Cups is often a need for contemplation, reevaluation, or meditation.
Okay.
See, I don't think she's doing that. You know, I don't think she's really stepping. It's also stepping back from the situation. I don't think she's stepping back and really evaluating career-wise, evaluating relationship-wise. What does she really want? And it takes time to do that. You got to take the time out to step back, think outside the box, write down on a piece of paper the things you're looking for, culminate that into a goal. And what does it look like, sound like, smell like, feel like when you're in that situation? So you get into the ideal relationship. Well, what are you guys doing? Are you going to the movies, fancy dinners, hanging out, watching TV, you know, pizza and beer? I don't know. You know, what is your idyllic situation? You gotta figure this out. Yeah. I also got the Nine of Swords, which is, you know, suffering and loss and desolation, nightmares, stress, keeping you up at night, which is her situation. And similar to the Four of Cups, how the Cups, Four of Cups is talking about trouble in paradise, dissatisfaction, being stuck in a rut. The same thing is with this Nine of Swords. Swords are thoughts and ideas. She's got too much going on up there mentally. And a lot of these other cards, have you noticed a lot of these other cards are cups, right? Emotions. She's not getting into the emotional feeling state of having attained the goal. So the law of attraction, she can't get in alignment. She's not getting in alignment with the law of attraction. So the universe can put people, places, and things in her path that she needs to get her to her goals. It's very similar to, you know, the previous caller. You know, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, you got to tell the GPS what the address is.
Exactly. And the thing is, I think sometimes, especially with relationships, people get stuck on the past, on previous hurts or pains, or there's some kind of fear or something like that, or doubt. And it's a repetitive cycle. And so, Lil Fairy, what I suggest for you is you really do need to start meditating. And it doesn't mean that you have to sit and do Om for, you know, I don't know, hours upon hours. Really just 10 minutes. What I would recommend that you do.
Oh, my God,
get
that's
a little
where
bit
I was
going to
go next. That's brilliant.
Oh,
you're so you're psychic, Rose. Go ahead.
I know. Psychic Rose, the mantra maven. But what I recommend that you do is to start off, Little Fairy, taking 10 minutes out of your day. Take 5 minutes, just sit comfortably, preferably with your back straight up, because lying down usually indicates sleep, right, for your body. So sit up comfortably. Your feet can be out, like if you're sitting on the bed and your back is against the wall or in a chair. And take 5 minutes just to relax your body, okay? This is really important in meditation. I can't stress it enough. Some people don't understand how important it is to relax your body, because you carry stress in your body. All that doubt and negative thinking, all of that is locked in your body somewhere. So just do a head check from head down to your feet. You know, is my neck, my face relaxed? Is my neck relaxed, my shoulders? And just go down. Do that for 5 minutes. And then the next 5 minutes, just focus on your breathing. Just listen to your breathing. If your mind wanders, that's okay. Just gently bring it back. You know, no need to feel bad or anything about it. But just focus on your breathing. Listen to your breathing going in and going out. Because one of the things that you're doing, this is why we're having this conversation about this, is that we know that you come and ask the same questions over and over again. And so what we're trying to do right now is to intervene and say you have to, you do need to take some meditative time to be clearer about things, especially like with relationships, because it's, you know, I don't even know how to deal with the whole relationship aspect, because that's the whole thing where we have something in our mind that we want, but typically that's not what's really good for us, especially those of us who have struggled with, you know, finding a good partner or things of that nature. But you really need to meditate and bring some clarity, because when you relax your body and you relax your mind, when you do that, and you need to do it consecutively, I would say every day as much as you can, right? At least once a day. It will help you to get a little bit clearer on things, so you're not just holding on to, I'm single, I'm not with anybody for years, I have a bad job, because what I believe that you're doing is that you're really holding on to the negative aspect of everything. And you got to let that go. And the reason why is that really you create your reality. You are creating your reality. You are creating all of the things that are manifesting in your life right now. It has nothing to do, manifesting has nothing to do with what's happening outside of you. Like, so when people, I talked about this at one point in one of the shows, I don't know, some weeks ago, when people look at their bank account. Oh, my God, it's low. Oh, then they get stressed and panicky, and what do I do? I have to go run out and get another job, or blah, 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 blah. it really manifesting and pulling in money or people, the right person, or all of that has nothing to do. Number one, it has nothing to do with your past, and it has nothing to do with what your present circumstances are. There are people who have gone from rags to riches, and
exactly.
You know, and that's because they believed in something beyond what was happening either in, you know, was in their present or in their past. So you really have control, and you have to take control, Mo Farah. You have to take control. You are responsible. You're the one. The common denominator for all the problems that you have is you. And I know it's hard because sometimes mm-hmm. it's like, oh, my gosh, I'm making myself suffer. And don't feel bad about it. Think of it as empowerment. I have control over this. The first thing you do, spend 10 minutes a day meditating, 5 minutes of relaxing your body, and then 5 minutes of listening to yourself breathe. Okay, that's going to help get you on the right track. And Dax, I don't know if you have some other suggestions in terms of meditation.
Well, actually, that's pretty much what I was going to do is we just did a little backwards here where I was going to mention about this and then ask, you know, what was your suggestions? But you already gave all the information on, you know, how to do it. And so what I was going to say is, you know, just take it back to that first card, the Four of Cups, which one of the other meanings
right.
is meditation. And that, you know, we were talking about getting the goals crystallized so you can manifest them. But even before you do that, just doing the meditation alone without
yeah.
focusing on something, you know, getting that, you know, no mind state. And
right.
Just, you know, letting go. And you don't have to do it a lot. Start off with 5 minutes, build up to 10 minutes, you know, and because she has to get into the right mind space first.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
meditation just does wonders in people's lives, you know, really allowing things to manifest, things to flow. And the practice itself is not like the creative visualization that we talked about before at all.
Right.
And yet it has this result. It's, you know.
Right.
Just absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
So I hope that helps you out, Little Fairy.
Absolutely, Little Fairy. When you come back, let us know how the meditation, the 10-minute meditation is going for you.
That's right. That's right. And then we can give you help going, you know, further along the lines, you know, towards what your goals are then. All righty. So we'll be back, Rose and I, along with Dr. Sharona on the 30th. I'm looking forward to that. Remember to tune in to Psychic Saturday tomorrow, the Colossal Collection. Just wake up tomorrow and type in psychictalk.net/live, and it'll all be right there, the call-in number, the player, the chat room. For my show with Mary, and we mentioned Sharona being the guest on Monday, and that's going to be a great show on vision boards. You really want to tune in for that. And you'll see all the shows at psychictalk.net/upcoming. Don't forget the flash sale this weekend. The flash sale, it is huge. psychictalk.net/flash. And you'll be able to book a reading with me for $27. Get started on the tarot and numerology course for $27. Two payments of $27 or one payment of $97. It's just this weekend alone. Only this weekend. So you want to go over to psychictalk.net/flash if you want to get in on that sale. And we've gone a little over here, so we have to say goodbye, folks. But it's always fun chatting with you, Rose. Yeah.
Yes, I love our show. This is fun.
Yeah. Thanks to all the listeners and all the callers, and we wouldn't have a show without you, so many thanks, and we're just going to say goodbye to everybody now, and goodbye, Rose.
Goodbye, Dax. Goodbye, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, have a great weekend, everybody. Bye, Rose. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.